No one in Israeli politics divides the country more than Benjamin Netanyahu. His supporters love him as much as his opponents loathe him. He's on the campaign trail trying to win back the job of Prime Minister that he'd held for a total of 15 years until last year.
Once again, it's about Netanyahu for and against, and it's not only a personal issue, it's an issue that has to do with the characteristic of Israeli democracy, more majoritarian democracy versus more populist, more majoritarian and populist or more liberal democracy, and of course about identity, right-wing, left-wing.
The political stalemate, this is the fifth election in 4 years, is for many Israelis tied to the start of when Netanyahu was indicted for breach of trust, fraud and accepting bribes. He says the trials are a political witch hunt. Polls suggest Netanyahu's party will be the single biggest in parliament, but just a seat or two short of a majority. He needs every vote.
I ask you to go to all of your friends, all of your neighbors, and all of your relatives, and tell them that nobody stays home. We are going full power this time, full power with all of our masses, to get Yair Lapid out of the Prime Minister's office.
To his supporters, he gave Israel 10 uninterrupted years of economic growth, normalized relations with four Arab countries, and got the US to withdraw from the Iran nuclear pact. His party, Likud, can imagine no other leader.
Because he's been the leader of the Likud for so long, he's really shaped the party in his image. And the party as well believes, with good reason I think, that they would do less well with somebody else at the helm. You know how it is in politics. If you feel that your party leader is actually reducing your chances of getting elected, you'll ditch him right away. That's not the sense in Likud.
His critics say he's threatening Israel's democracy in his determination to stop his criminal trials. Netanyahu has suggested he'll build a coalition with the far-right religious Zionists to form a government.
The far-right wants to make changes to the law that could allow Benjamin Netanyahu to stall or end the fraud and bribery trials he's facing. But not everyone on the right is comfortable with sharing power in parliament with extreme nationalists. So even if it comes off, it could be a short-lived coalition forcing Israelis back to the polls again early next year. Bernard Smith, Al Jazeera, West Jerusalem.
Let's now bring in Stephanie Decker. She's joining us from West Jerusalem. So how much appetite is there for this election this time around, Stephanie?
Well, people are tired. I think that's no secret, as you heard there from Bernard. It's the fifth election in 3.5 years. So turnout is going to be key, of course. Also, particularly from what we're understanding when it comes to the polls, the Palestinian-Israeli population could, you know, if they turn out in higher numbers than expected, than has been putting, that could have, you know, an impact on the final outcome on the polls. Certainly, from at the moment, it's neck and neck when it comes to the two blocks. Very difficult to call. Yes, Likud, as Bernard mentioned there, is the party that will looks like it'll have the most seats, a couple of seats ahead of Yesh Atid, the party of the current caretaker Prime Minister Yair Lapid. But of course, when it comes down to politics here, it's all about coalition building. It's all about getting a majority in parliament. And when we talk about a majority these days, it's a minor majority. It's 61 seats out of 120 that are needed. And that's pretty much more or less if anyone gets that majority vote, that's going to be the number. So it's still going to be very fractious. But again, very early days, just gone 7 a.m. in the morning here in Jerusalem. Across the country, the polls have opened. A trickle of people here in this ultra-Orthodox area are coming to vote. So we're going to have to wait and see throughout the day how the turnout goes. But certainly people do know that this is a significant election in the terms of the makeup of who could potentially come into government.
Right. And Stephanie, you were mentioning a moment ago that the Palestinian-Israeli voter turnout could be key. But let me ask you, in the lead up to this election, to what extent has the occupation actually been an issue in this election cycle?
When it comes to Israeli elections, those issues aren't really at the forefront. At the forefront is always security. This is something that always gets played very highly by all sides. Also, cost of living. There's been a soaring increase in the cost of living across the country, which is something that Israelis are concerned about. The economy, things like that. So, no, you don't really have that as a major talking point, as a concern for Israelis across the country. It's not on the agenda. You do see, however, a potential. If you do see Benjamin Netanyahu and Likud and his right-wing bloc come to power. One of the phenomenons of this election has been Itamar Ben-Gvir. This is a far right-wing politician, extremely controversial, even by right-wing standards, someone who's called for the expulsion of Palestinians, those that he calls terrorists. He's brandished a gun in occupied East Jerusalem, calling for the police to open fire on Palestinians. He's called for the right to Jewish prayer on the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, something that is hugely inflammatory and provocative to Palestinians. So if you see, just to give you a context, Benjamin Netanyahu's bloc come to power, it's if you will see someone like Ben-Gvir get a major role in the cabinet. And that is something that many Israelis are saying is a threat to their liberal democracy and certainly is concerning for any future moving forward. So, again, everything up in the air. But no, when it comes to sort of the occupation, that's not something that's really on Israelis' minds when they come to vote here.
Thank you so much. Stephanie Decker reporting from West Jerusalem.